I'm Dan Rodericks, and this is Midday. Gut grit? That's what the University of Maryland, Baltimore County asks prospective students. It's an attitude, the university says in its marketing, defined by courage, resolve, and strength of character, which embodies the indomitable spirit of UMBC. The dictionary defines grit as having a firmness of mind or spirit, an unyielding courage in the face of hardship or danger. It's become the latest buzzword in education. Are grit and intelligence naturally linked or mutually exclusive? Can grit be taught? And is it the intangible that determines a student's success? All about grit in learning on Midday after the news from NPR.
Winter.
Welcome back to Midday, everyone. Dan Rodericks here. Thanks again for joining us and making Midday part of your day here on WYPR, WYPF, Frederick and Hagerstown, WYPO, Ocean City, and the Eastern Shore of Maryland, and streaming live online through WYPR.org. Try hard. Don't give up. Be persistent. Keep going no matter what. The concept of grit, or as defined by the dictionary, firmness of mind, of spirit, unyielding courage in the face of hardship or danger, is nothing new. In fact, most of us probably heard about it from teachers and parents and coaches growing up. I remember a French teacher in high school saying, "You will learn this lesson through sheer grit and determination." Mr. Ketchum, 11th grade, French. But lately, grit has become something of a buzzword in education, so much so that at some schools, students are graded on it. But what does grit actually tell you about a student and his or her chances at success? Angela Duckworth, a psychology professor at the University of Pennsylvania, who's become a so-called grit guru, would tell you it means everything. In a popular TED Talk that has been viewed more than 5 million times, Duckworth asserts that grit is a better predictor of success than IQ or any other character trait. But others in education circles are not so certain. A story for NPR online about teaching grit in classrooms, the education writer Alfie Cohn warned against putting grit on such a high pedestal. He told NPR, quote, "The benefits of failure are vastly overstated, and the assumption that kids will pick themselves up and try even harder next time, that's wishful thinking." So this hour, we're going to explore this concept of grit in education. A little later in the show, we'll speak to a principal from the Kipp Charter School in Baltimore about the use of grit on report cards. We'll also talk about how grit is being used to market the University of Maryland, Baltimore County to prospective students. But right at the top here, I want to welcome onto the show, welcome to Studio A, Elaine Tuttle Hansen. Elaine Tuttle Hansen is the executive director of the Johns Hopkins Center for Talented Youth, and she's a former president of Bates College in Maine. And in October, she wrote an op-ed for the Baltimore Sun about grit and intelligence that caught our eye and that got us interested in this topic. So, and it's great to have you on the show, Elaine Tuttle Hansen. Welcome to Midday.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Let's talk a little bit about Angela Duckworth and that TED Talk that's been quite the talk in education circles. But you've been hearing about grit for a few years, right?
Well, I think we've all been hearing about grit forever.
Well, 11th grade, yeah, mine goes back to, yeah.
I mean, first of all, this is America, a country that was founded on the Protestant work ethic. Right. So grit is not new. I think in educational circles, for the last couple of decades, people have been interested in the so-called non-cognitive factors. It's a kind of misnomer because these are the skills that are essential to cognitive ability, but they are not the academic skills.
Right.
So I think there's a lot of precursors to grit. Remember EQ? About two decades ago, there was a lot of conversation about your emotional intelligence, which is not that different from grit, really, because it includes your motivation and your drive and your passion for something. More recently, I think for the last decade, we've been hearing about the growth mindset. I don't know if you're familiar with that term, but there's a woman named Carol Dweck who's written a lot about the difference between a fixed mindset and a growth mindset. And she's advised parents that when your child does something wonderful, you should not say, "I'm so proud of you, you're so smart." You should say, "I'm so proud of you, you worked really hard to achieve that goal."
I see. So there's not an acknowledgement of the smart there, of the IQ.
Right.
The intelligence, right?
The fixed mindset, the problem that people are trying to get around is that if you believe intelligence is innate, then it's all over,
right?
Why bother?
You don't even have to work that hard, right?
Yeah. And, I mean, I think we all know someone who had a lot of potential that never came to fruition.
Mm-hmm.
I have many anecdotes from CTY. You know, we work with kids with enormous potential for high academic achievement. Alums have said to me, "I wish I could know the person I would have been if I had learned sooner how to work. You know, I just coasted through middle school, high school, college." So we know that grit is really important to achievement.
So that person is expressing regret about not having been taught about grit, right?
Well, I don't think
it's something you can teach.
Well, that's a $64,000 question. Is it something you can teach? I don't think we have any evidence that you can. And what concerns me about the recent attention to grit, there are several things that concern me, but one of them is separating the grit that a child needs to develop from their academic interests and giving them separate report cards, something like that. We think they need to be integrated.
So a separate report card that measures character traits,
right,
such as grit.
Right, right.
You think that needs to be integrated, not a separate report card.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I think there may be some kids who are motivated by A for effort, but I think if your approach is that you're going to divorce the academic achievement from the grit trait, then you have to worry about one of the consequences, for example, of somebody who persists at a very low-level task and never rises to the next challenge.
Mm-hmm.
It really has to be integrated and approached with an understanding of the child's abilities.
Okay,
that's
I follow
we're
you.
Concerned
for
about.
The for the talented youth that you're familiar with at the Johns Hopkins Center for Talented Youth, I would think the idea of teaching grit, or at least talking about it, using the word frequently, defining it, or presenting examples of it, would be a motivator for the students. You don't think it is?
Can I report on the conversations I had with our instructors?
You sure.
Know, I went around last summer because I was really troubled by what I was hearing. Talent is inversely related to grit. And I went to our instructors in our summer programs. We have about 10,000 kids in the summer, so we have a lot of experience. And I said, "Well, what do you think about this?" And at first, they were really nonplussed. How could you separate grit? How could you teach grit? They didn't really know what that meant. But then when I talked to them about, well, how do you motivate and challenge your students, then the ideas started pouring out. And they talked, I think, most importantly about the differences in children's need for encouragement, motivation. We get some kids who are incredibly passionate about a very narrow area of interest, and they will work as hard as you let them. We have in our summer sessions mandatory fun for those kids because they need to learn how to balance
mm-hmm.
their academic passions with being a whole human being. So that's one issue. Then we also have among the talent kids, the ones like the alum I just mentioned, who they really have never had to work hard. And I think the question we should be asking is, why are they underachieving? Why are they so bored in school? Why are they coasting? And when, in fact, we know that if you challenge them at the right level, they have the capacity to work. They just have to be motivated and interested. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. I was just wondering why. I can see why, I guess, the word grit would become a buzzword, would become a popular concept for people to talk about, and why so many people went on the TED Talk site to see YouTube to see Angela Duckworth and what she had to say there. But you think she went a little too far with that. She almost presented it as if it were scientific fact based on some, you know, neurological studies of students.
Yeah. I think it's really important to ask some of the questions she's asking. I just think it's being hyped in a way that's trying to look, we're looking for a panacea, as we always are, for all the things that are wrong with our educational system, and particularly for our poorest kids. And grit seems to be like something that they could really, you know,
if you just try harder, right?
Yeah. Like Horatio Alger.
Yeah. I think we like that story a lot. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I mean, parents say these things to kids, don't they? I mean, you're not born with grit. You're not born with determination. I don't know. Maybe you are. Maybe it is somewhat innate. It's something that rubs off, certainly, from other people as you're growing up, don't you think?
Absolutely. One thing we discover in our summer courses is, again, kids come in with different amounts of, let's call it grit, different habits of work. And I've heard from some of these kids that what they like about CTY is that it's contagious. Suddenly they're in a group of kids who really care about school, who really care about achievement. It's cool to study. Mm-hmm. And I've had, again, students say to me, you know, I never really tried before, but there were all these kids working really hard, and I felt like I had to keep up.
Right.
So I think there is an element of almost contagion about it, and it's, I don't know that you need to talk about it and use the word. I think our instructors model it. They make sure that a child is really challenged.
You know, the word smart, I think in your op-ed that you wrote for The Sun a couple of months ago, you said it's in some people's minds a dirty word, or in the students, those who are blessed with intelligence, who do well in school and do well in tests, and they kind of not ashamed of it, but it's sort of assumed that you're going to, that there's high expectations for you, or that you're always going to do well if someone calls you smart.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think
kids
are very different in this regard, and their experiences are different. We hear a lot about kids who have to hide it, frankly. And again, that's what coming to a place with other smart kids lets them do. They can talk about academic interests, and they can show their passion. But, you know, in most schools, everybody knows who the smart kid is. Often the smart kids are ostracized, isolated. Even bullied. We get a lot of reports of bullying of smart kids. It is not cool in many schools to be a top academic student. It never has been, right?
What happens to grit now? It remains a buzzword for a while until the next big thing comes along? But, it's being integrated. We're going to talk in a moment with the representative of the KIPP Baltimore Elementary School about grit. And you're Sam, getting from you that, it's there, but you cannot, it doesn't replace those other things that are necessary for student achievement.
And it shouldn't, we shouldn't be developing another negative stereotype about smart kids. That's really my point.
Right.
To say talent is inversely related to grit. What does that mean, and how easily that slips over into kind of blaming talented kids for not working hard or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas we should be asking the question, why are they bored? Why can't we challenge them at the right level?
You find in the summer that kids actually like hard work.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They get it from your summer sessions.
They do.
Did you say there's 10,000 students?
We have close to 10,000 students every summer at 24 sites around the country and in Hong Kong.
I had no idea it was that many. Wow.
And we have online courses. We have about 14,000 enrollments a year in our online courses. So, I mean, I think from these vast numbers, I would conclude every student is different. You can't have a one-size-fits-all approach to grit or to any other educational principle. And again, that's what I'd push back on, the idea that there's one way to teach and develop grit.
Elaine Tuttle Hansen is executive director of the Johns Hopkins Center for Talented Youth. When did you take that position?
In 2011.
Very good. Nice to have you. Nice to meet you finally. Thanks for being here.
Likewise. Thank you. Terrific topic.
We're going to continue talking about grit in the next segment of the show. Right now, we need to take a break because this is the next to last day, right? The third day of the year-end pledge drive here at WYPR. So a short break for some announcements, and we'll be right back. Midday, Dan Roderick's here, and we're talking about the concept of grit, G-R-I-T, true grit in education. We turn now to its use in primary and secondary schools. Joining me for this part of the show is Natalia Walter, founding principal of Kip Harmony Academy. That's the elementary charter school in Baltimore, part of the Baltimore KIPP Schools, and that's part of the national KIPP network of charter schools. KIPP stands for Knowledge is Power Program. In recent years, they've rolled out character education as part of their curriculum, and grit is one of the character traits you look for, right?
Yes.
What are the other six? First of all, hello, Natalia. Nice to have you
hello,
here.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
So there are seven character traits you look for in students that you actually grade.
We do. We do rate them on a scale of 1 to 5 in our middle school and in our elementary school. They don't get graded on it in the elementary school, but we introduce them, teach them, and utilize the language to help them understand what the character traits are.
So you use the terms and define them.
Yeah.
So grit is one.
Grit is one of them. Zest is another.
Zest.
That love of learning, self-control, meaning being able to be prepared, pay attention, remember and follow directions. Those important school level skills. Social intelligence, being able to kind of solve problems, read the room, know your audience, and respect each other's feelings. Optimism, which really helps you get over frustrations quickly, knowing that there's an end in sight and you should have hope about that. Curiosity, asking and answering questions so you can deepen your knowledge of something. And then gratitude, recognizing and showing appreciation for those that help you within your education and for how other people help each other.
How do you define grit?
We define grit as really trying really hard on something, especially after experiencing failure, and then working independently with focus to finish whatever you've begun. So finishing what you start. For example, with our littlest Kipsters, we know that as they're learning how to read, it's really challenging. Reading is rocket science. Like, learning how to do that is very, very hard. So as they're reading their sight words or they're reading their words and blending those sounds together to know what that word actually means, if they struggle the first time, you'll hear our teachers say, I know that Amore has grit and he's going to try one more time because he knows what all the sounds are and he shouldn't give up. So really teaching them grit is more about, we need them in the end to know how to read. We need them in the end to be high-level readers in order to be prepared for college. But not every child gets there easily. And so having the grit and us talking about that gives them that extra push to move them that little bit more to actually accomplish that task.
It's hard not to like this because you can't...
I love it.
Yeah, I know you do. But you can't assume that kids have had experience with this or they've even heard the words... Mm-hmm. Up until that age, what, second grade or third grade?
Kindergarten.
Even
start.
Kindergarten, okay. So the idea, I mean, I guess we take it for granted that we know what grit is. Maybe you think you do, but or what self-control is or what optimism is or curiosity.
Yeah.
So you actually talk about it, define it, and use examples with kids?
Yeah, so we know that families are teaching values at home to their children, and they're using language to teach them that, and they'll show them examples as well. What we want to do is translate that into what are the character strengths that you have and can demonstrate in school that actually help you achieve these academic goals you set. Mm-hmm. We say at our school that we will be college ready. We'll go to and through college. We mean it. We say it across KIPP. We have results that show that. We see these character traits as the things that help you when you struggle, the things that you can leverage about yourself. So if a child has really strong social intelligence, if they're struggling in class, they use that social intelligence to build their study group in college, a very plain example. They use that social intelligence to work with the professor and get into those office hours and get the extra help that they need. They use their optimism to say, wow, I got a 40 on that test. That was awful. What should I do now? And they use optimism to know that they're capable of getting there and getting better.
It seems to me, optimism is linked to grit.
I think they're all linked together.
I guess they are. I was looking at your list trying to figure out how they're linked, but I especially see that connection between the O and the G, optimism and grit.
Yeah.
Because in order to come back from failure, you need to have a dose of optimism that you can do it. Actually,
right.
You need some self-confidence.
I agree with you completely. And that's actually why we don't teach one in isolation. We're not just focused on grit. At kindergarten, grit, self-control, and social intelligence are the most tangible for our kids. That's what they'll start to learn about first. As they get older, they learn about more.
So if a student gets a, say, a 2 grade You said it's between 1 and 5, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they get a 2 in grit.
Mm-hmm.
How do they come back from that? How do they get that up to a 5?
That's an excellent question. So at our middle school grade levels, they actually get that character report card, which is really a growth card. So it's an opportunity over the 4 quarters, while they're seeing their academic grades, to reflect on how did my character strengths and the ones that I leveraged help me, or potentially did I not leverage well enough to get to these grades. So if a child on their character growth card has 1s, 2s, 3s, the teacher takes that as an opportunity to have a conversation about the ways in which a child's study habits or work ethic or after school activities can impact the way that they get academic results. We've been having those conversations forever as educators in this country since going to school started. We're just naming them in a way that helps children understand that this is something that they can do. This actually has a purpose and a name. This comes from work that means you can be ready for college. You can actually see lots of examples of these things.
Natalia, you are founding principal of KIPP Harmony Academy, mm-hmm. the elementary charter school.
Yes.
That's one of 2 schools in the Baltimore KIPP program. Okay. So when you started the school, in your training to run a KIPP school, mm-hmm. Did the masterminds of KIPP say, we need to integrate these things? In other words, there isn't one report card for character traits. Or maybe there is physically 2 report cards, mm-hmm. one for math and the other subjects and for the character traits, but that these need to be integrated in the school day, mm-hmm. throughout the school week. Is that correct?
Is a premise of KIPP, that we believe in the academic achievement of our students meeting the bars that we set, because that's how you get to and through college, but also the character education component. Because when you get to college, I like to say that your academic skills will get you to the door of college, and then you can engage in your classes. But the first time you fail, if you drop out of school, you don't finish. But if the first time you fail, you think back to that grit that you have, and you do the best you can, and you try again, you have a greater likelihood of doing better. I failed my first math class in college, the first class I ever failed ever in my lifetime. And that was a point for me, like, do I seek a tutor? What do I do? We want our children to have that same experience, because we really believe our kids from the Park Heights community in Baltimore City should, could, and will go to college if they're demonstrating these academic skills and these character traits.
There are some kids who just give up, right? If they do poorly in a particular subject in a particular year in school, they may think, well, science isn't for me. Mm-hmm. Biology is not for me. I got to go somewhere else. And what do we say about that? It's a choice they make. They just don't like a subject, or they don't do well in it, mm-hmm. but they haven't had enough grit instruction, maybe?
So I think what happens there is that talks a little bit about that kind of fixed and growth mindset. Really how a child develops from a little one is really what we as adults in our world socially teach them, because they're born kind of blank slates about how they feel about things, and they learn that through those interactions. So what we feel is that if we teach our children that you might not enjoy science as much as you enjoy math. Different children are motivated by different things, and we recognize that. But doing well in science in high school impacts the types of colleges you can go to. And if you want to do a job in math, you need to do well in science. So you can utilize your grit, your curiosity, your optimism to help you apply the skills you know and use those parts of yourself to do better in that content. So instead of getting a C, you get a B. That changes your life outcomes, because that changes the type of school you go to.
Mm-hmm.
There are children out there. We have a little guy. He's kind of always been in the middle. His name's Jay. B students, like, always there, works really hard, you know,
mm-hmm.
for his Bs. And what we found is that as he started to internalize grit, we saw him work differently. So when you would hear the teacher say, like, Jay's really showing grit, he doesn't know that problem, he turned to a friend and asked for help and used his social intelligence and he found an answer. Now he knows how to do it next time. He hears that over and over again,
yeah.
from his teacher.
Yeah.
He internalizes.
So it's part of the conversation. It's part of the classroom conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Now, what do you think about what Elaine Tuttle Hansen was saying about the really gifted kids who, you know, they're smart, they get A's, and yet they feel like maybe they're not trying hard enough because they don't exhibit enough grit?
Mm-hmm.
Things come too easy for them?
So that's part of why we call them character strengths, and that children exhibit different strengths differently. So there are students that school comes a little bit more easily, a little bit more naturally. There's actually character strengths within that, right? They might have a curiosity and a zest for learning, that those are the strengths they're leveraging. Maybe the hard work portion of really pushing themselves through a problem isn't as necessary because it comes a little bit easier. But they have to have a zest and curiosity to help drive their own learning. We have a lot of students at our school that are really, really bright, and they know the information in front of them and they know how to apply it. They still need grit, because you could be at a 98, but why not 100? Mm-hmm. And grit gets you that two extra points. The higher you are, the harder you actually have to work to grow.
I'd like to open up the phone lines for comments and questions from our audience. So can you stay with us a little while, or do you have to get back to school?
Sure, I can. It's lunch duty. I'm sure they'll be fine.
Okay, because we're here till 1 o'clock. We have another guest who's going to be joining us in a minute. But this is Natalia Walter, founding principal of Kip Harmony Academy, the elementary charter school in Baltimore, one of the two Kip schools. You're on Greenspring Avenue, right?
Yes, we are. Mm-hmm.
So can you stay with us?
Yeah.
Excellent. All right, and we'll move on and introduce our second guest, who will be joining us from the University of Maryland, Baltimore County, an assistant vice provost there, who is going to talk about their marketing campaign, House of Grit, at UMBC, when we get back. And welcome back to Midday. Dan Rodericks here. 410-662-8780 is the number if you want to call in and join our conversation as we talk about grit in students, in student achievement, in learning. Here's an email from Courtney who says, I believe that grit is a significant factor to success, but I'm not sure I agree that grit is a personality trait or characteristic. I think grit is somewhat analogous to parental and community support. Smart kids who fail but have a support structure know how to get back on the horse, so to speak. But smart kids who fail and don't have a support system or haven't ever had to try hard in school, they don't know how to keep trying again and again. Pinning everything on grit is not going to help with the achievement gap. Even in lower-income families, it is parental connection and support that helps children be successful. Grit is a community asset, at least as much as an individual one. Well, Natalia, you want to talk about that a little bit, react to that? I mean, I find that interesting. I think they're separate things, though. I mean, when I hear the word grit or look up even the dictionary definition of it or your definition of it from Kip's school, it does sound individualistic, something that comes from within the individual, something that can be taught through example or by talking about it a lot, right, as you do at Kip. Whereas what Courtney's talking about here, family and community support, albeit that's interesting and important too, but I don't see it the same as grit.
Well, I think there's several points that Courtney makes that speak to grit and in ways in which I agree and I think we would agree at Kip and in ways that I think it's a little different. I do agree that there are character, I like to call them strengths, because I think that they are learned and they can be developed and improved and changed and leveraged to help you in other ways. So in some of what Courtney said, I do agree that if we families, teachers, school districts aren't teaching our children what grit looks like and giving children opportunities to grow from failure and helping them through that, then when they have to do it on their own, they're not going to always know what to do. They're children, right?
Right.
So when we have our little ones that fail for the first time, it involves tears in kindergarten, crying, frustration. And then we like to take the opportunity in terms good for them, say, like, you could have not talked to your neighbor and worked through this paper and used your self-control and your grit. And by the end, you would have known how to answer that math question. So this is a way in which you have the knowledge, you've heard the knowledge from the teacher, you just have to practice it more in order to show it well on your assessment. So I think grit is a part of the conversation with a child about how their character strengths get them to their academic goals. So I agree that if not everyone's having that conversation with a child, they're going to struggle, which is why we at KIPP believe you have to have that conversation with children every day.
And the community part of that, actually, I was just thinking about it while you were answering that, the community part is the school, right?
Mm-hmm.
In your model, anyway, it would be, because the teacher engages all the students in this conversation, right?
Yeah.
Natalia Wood is from the Kipp School in Baltimore, the founding principal there, and one of the founding principals. And now we're meeting Dale Bittinger. Dale is assistant vice provost out at University of Maryland, Baltimore County, UMBC, assistant vice provost of undergraduate admissions, orientation, and school partnerships. And Dale, nice to have you with us.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for being here. So I didn't realize until we were getting ready for this show that the mascot of UMBC has been for a long time. Well, I knew it was a retriever, mm-hmm. a Bay Retriever, right?
Chesapeake Bay Retriever,
Chesapeake
correct.
Bay Retriever, but actually with the name True Grit.
Absolutely correct.
And that goes back a couple of decades, right?
From the founding of the school in 1966.
Oh, that far. Okay,
yes.
Okay. So I didn't realize that. So if you've established a marketing, sort of a marketing campaign for UMBC called House of Grit.
Uh-huh.
I kind of like how that sounds. What's the idea here? And how is UMBC capitalizing on that word and what that word might mean for people?
Well, it's interesting as you have the conversation that grit has become a buzzword, you know, in today's age. It is the fact that, you know, since 1966, it has been a part of the UMBC culture. So I don't know if we necessarily fall into the buzzword category.
Right, right.
But so it's not...
Among educational academics, I guess, maybe, right?
Correct.
So, educational thinkers.
So it's nothing that's new to us. And we've been using it, and kind of the way the campaign came out was the fact that we started doing a series of discussions with prospective students, current students, others associated with the campus community, to try to understand their story and what is it that we should be sharing with others about the UMBC experience. I often say in admissions, and when we're looking for those students who are the right fit for a school, they need to understand who we are and what we do well, and that's our job in admissions. And so we started having these research sessions and focus groups with students, and you started hearing their stories. And a lot of their stories, it talked about UMBC as a sense of community, but also this place where you can find your own individuality and be amongst peers, and a little bit about what we were talking about earlier, that it can be invigorating to be with others, and it can be exciting, and how do you overcome challenges. And it started becoming our story. And so when we ran with House of Grit that way, we said, you know, we have people who are uniters and we have people who are thinkers. We are a place, going back to Elaine's opening comments, we say often on our campus, it's a place where it's cool to be smart. And our students embrace that. And in a lot of other places, that's not the culture. And we've heard from others that, you know, you come to our school and you're amongst peers. And the House of Grit campaign really allowed us to focus on the individuality of the humans, the students on our campus, but at the same point in time, the sense of community that makes UMBC such a place it is.
Okay, but when you say grit, mm-hmm. Even among the smart students, right?
Mm-hmm.
All students, everybody, you're speaking to something about human determination, about you know, striving to succeed against adversity or after failure, especially after mm-hmm. failure, right?
Exactly.
When we talk about athletes, we talk mm-hmm. about people in all walks of life exhibiting mm-hmm. grit. Mm-hmm. What does it mean to you personally? What does that word mean to you?
You know, it's funny when you talk about grit, and it almost sounds like some point in times we're making it, you're either smart or you have grit, and they're not necessarily mutually exclusive. A great example, I think, on our campus, we're excited. Our soccer team's going to the NCAA Final Four tournament this weekend. Our goalie, many people saw the video of him with his great save in the game, Billy Hebner. He's carrying a 4.0 GPA, financial economics major, so he's got grit, but he's a smart student. He's a scholar athlete. He's working hard in all aspects of everything he does.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have that type of student. Then you have students that come from different types of backgrounds that may not have been exposed for whatever reason to different aspects of the academic environment. And with additional support and nurturing, they can do well. Many folks often will talk about my last name, and I'm like, yes, I'm from Garrett County, where your name is your most important thing. You grow up in that area with a strong sense of values and a work ethic. People often say, you know, I talk about my, so when you ask me what it means to me, my grandfather was a farmer. I learned what it was like to be working hard, and I think that has helped me in my career. And so I relate to students that are that way as well.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same point in time, I see these smart students that are extremely bright that have that same grit. So you can have grit on either end of the spectrum.
Natalia, do the kids at Kipp School latch onto that word and use it themselves, grit? They
yes.
say, hey, she's got grit, or you're showing some grit today?
Yeah, they actually call each other out for showing it. So at our middle school, we have team and family meetings in the morning, and kids shout out and recognize teammates, and so do teachers for demonstrating grit and our other character strengths. And then at the lower school, they can volunteer to have one of their friends get recognized and call out another teammate for demonstrating it. So they'll raise their hand, explain it. One of our teachers, Miss Burris, rings a bell every time someone demonstrates a character strength in kindergarten.
It has some appeal. The word has some appeal. To say someone is gritty, you know, what does that mean? If you say somebody is gritty, meaning that, well, that person is not going to accept failure. That person is going to be dogged. That person is going to pull this off somehow. This is a B student who's going to get an A. This is somebody who got a C last semester and is through applying themselves, right, is going to move it up to a B. So how is this working for you? This is a part of a recruitment campaign, right? Mm-hmm. Using this to bring students to UMBC.
Correct.
Do you have any measure of how it's working?
We just launched a campaign this year, so we will be looking at the data and all that. But what we hear from the people when they see it, a lot of students are resonating with this. It draws up on some pop cultural things. They see themselves in these scenarios. I mean, we've created some interactive opportunities for students to go on the website, the House of Grit website, and they can take this survey, and it says, am I a uniter, a thinker, and these type things.
Well, you have a grit quiz.
Well, there's a grit quiz.
Can I ask you about the grit quiz? I just have a couple of questions here from it. I don't know how many are on there. I've got a couple of them here.
Okay, and I think it's probably like any other poll, give the caveat, there's nothing scientific necessarily about it.
I understand. But I was curious about what the answer would be here if I was a person who was gritty.
Uh-huh.
When selecting a university or college, you would prefer A. Natalia, have you seen this before?
No.
Okay, I'll give you the quiz.
Oh.
You would prefer A,
wait a minute.
A smaller school where you know everyone by name, or B, a larger school where you can meet someone new each day. Now, just tell me what Natalia's answer is. When selecting a university or college, you would prefer a small school where you know everyone by name, or a larger school where you can meet someone new each day. Which one do you like?
B.
I'll put you down for B. Now, the next question. Choose an item to bring with you on a trip. A, a notebook, or B, a camera?
A notebook.
Number three, when taking pictures on a trip, of course...
That'll be problematic.
I don't bring my camera. All right, let's...
I'll go with it.
Let's say you have your cell phone, okay?
Mm-hmm.
When taking pictures on a trip, it's more important to take A, artistic shots for social media, or B, archival photos documenting what you saw. Excuse me for laughing.
A.
You're going with A?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Dale Bittinger, how did Natalia do?
She's going to be a great student.
What does that mean? I mean, can you help me out with the quiz? Do you know the answers to these? For the gritty one.
For the gritty one.
If you were gritty, what would you have chosen for number one?
You know, I work at a mid-sized school, so I'd pick C.
Yeah, they didn't offer you a mid-sized school here. But the choice between a notebook and a camera, what does that tell you?
When we were creating this survey and talking to students, we wanted them to really think about factors that were important to them were going to school and what type of student are they. Once again, I often say we've done our job properly in admissions when you've given students all the information to make an informed decision. So what is it that's important to you? What are your values as you're looking at a college? So for some students, it might be, you know, yes, I'm looking for a large institution. For another student, it may be something different. And so those are the questions we want students to think about. And with this campaign, with the House of Grit, where can you be the most successful? And what are factors? And where do you see yourself fitting in to a community of learners? Because we're all unique. And I think that's what's so great about this, is you can see yourself in one of these areas.
Okay. But the quiz, albeit we know it's not scientific, but I'm curious, how did Natalia do in there in terms of the grit scale? What would you say? She chose a notebook. Is that the gritty side if she chose the notebook over the camera?
I think when we would look at her academic record as well as that, and that would help us in determining her grit along with the strong academics. I think that's where they can come together.
Are you a gritty person, Natalia? What do you say about yourself?
I think I'm pretty gritty. I'm pretty gritty.
How about
day.
Back when you were in high school?
I was someone who was really dedicated to my work. I worked hard. Things didn't come easily to me academically, so I had to work to get it done. I did gymnastics 4 hours a day, so I had to balance my time. So I had to demonstrate quite a bit of grit to get through things, and opening a school.
And
was
Dale,
that too.
Dale grew up in Garrett County, Maryland. So mm-hmm. a lot of grit out there. Huh?
Yes.
Especially in the wintertime.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
13 feet of snow.
Exactly.
Right. Dale, nice to have you here. Nice to meet you.
I appreciate it.
Dale, Assistant Vice Provost at UMBC, and you're in charge of this campaign?
I work very closely with a lot of our staff on campus, okay. but our office does when it oversees it. Correct.
The House of Grit campaign. And Natalia Walter from the Kipp School, thank you both for being here today.
Thank you.
Thank you.